Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Queen of Tears episodes 10, 11, and 12. Payne's secret is out, and the chairman is awake. It's a race to the slush fund. Who will find it first? Let's find out. Good morning, Juliet. How are you?
I'm great.
You look up and at 'em this morning. Not your usual vibe.
It's been a very busy week. It is AAPI month, and so I am putting a lot of effort to educate the children of this neighborhood about Asian culture. Well, really Korean culture.
Yeah, because
I can't cover the 35
You have zero interest in any other Asian culture. Let's be real here.
Yeah, I am not giving credence to the origins of our culture. But I went to my daughter's school today to read the class a book about kimchi. And then I went to my son's class earlier this week to read a few books. There are a lot of Korean-American authors out there who are writing about the Korean-American experience. And so it's really nice to finally have something like that. And I went to my son's class. He's in kindergarten. So this is a group of about 5 to 6 year olds. I read these books, goes great. And the teacher asked me to do a craft. And if you know me, I have 2 opposable thumbs.
This is not your strong point.
Definitely not my strong. I should stick to my lane and just read. Mm-hmm. But I was ambitious. So I decided to do this craft called dakji. It's an origami that you make. It turns into a little square. You throw it on the ground and you try to flip the other piece over. It's like pogs.
That sounds like dakjim, chicken stew. Anyway. Oh, we saw that game in Squid Game. They play that.
By the way, you said dakjim, and I just realized it's
dak. Jim dak.
Jim dak or dakjim. Dak, not dak. But this game is called dakji. Uh-huh. And it's like pogs if you are from the early 90s, I guess. Yeah, we used to play that game in elementary school. So it involves folding up in 2 pieces of origami paper and folding them into each other. But I had read online, if you use origami paper, it's too light. Mm-hmm. And so somebody online suggested using cardstock. So I got this thicker cardstock. Okay. And I was like, I didn't even practice the night before. Because I'm like, oh, I just watched some YouTube videos. Seems easy. Take it to the class. And I'm showing it to them. And this girl starts scream crying. And proceeds to scream cry for about 15 minutes. And then everyone...
Well, it is hard. It's cardstock.
I mean, everyone is ignoring her. But I was like, am I getting punked right now? And that starts a domino effect.
Right.
Everyone is like, this is so hard. This paper is too thick. And then my son gets up. And he's like, Mom, why didn't you practice this last night?
Really was, calling you out in front of his
He loves boss. To do that.
He really does.
Knows how to cut me down right where it hurts.
Dang, but I mean, also, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's not
he's
wrong.
He's like, you're embarrassing me, Mom. Yeah. You're embarrassing yourself.
Kids were just complaining so much and so loudly. And I was like, how do I get out of here? Just let me go. So then I just proceeded to make it for everyone because they were complaining so much. But I also found it really fascinating because most of the kids who are complaining and crying were girls.
Interesting.
The boys, of course, they were like, you know, my son, of course, he's like, oh, wow, why didn't you practice this? But they were either pivoting, making ninja stars, or they were helping each other, or just figuring it out. They kept trying. The girls just were like, I can't do it. And they would stand in line waiting for me to do it. But I thought it was such an interesting the socialization of genders. And especially as mom girls, maybe need to take this lesson in.
I think also having raised girls, and I have 2 girls. One is very, like, she's good at reading. And the other one is very good at building. Like, there's just, like, very different lanes for these two. And so my little one, you can just tell she just can see spatially things just start make more sense to her. Right. My older one is just, we joke, like, not going to be an engineer, this one, because she's just can't see how things go together. Yeah. I've seen boys have more of this kind of, like, building spatial intelligence.
I can see that. What I was intrigued by, especially because I've been reading this the latest Adam Grant book about hidden potential. And it's like, with girls, I think we push a lot of like perfection. And we push like, oh, you can't do it. Let me help you. Mm-hmm. With boys, like, we rescue them much less frequently. I was dying inside because, the girl was scream crying.
Also,
I was
very.
Like, I'm never going to be a teacher.
Also, classic Juliet, just kind of biting off a little more than you can chew, having just like ultra confidence that you can do this, like, and having not that prepping. Practice.
I mean, like, yeah, this is so easy.
She watches a TikTok video and she thinks she can rule the world now.
Yeah. Anyway, that's been my week. How are you?
I'm not bad. It's my birthday tomorrow.
That's right.
I've reached the age of no one gives a fuck what age you are anymore.
Yeah, we all reach that at 25.
But. Yeah, but you know, there's some people who really care about their birthdays. And then there's just the rest of us who kind of don't.
Yeah.
It's like just fine. Are you, you're not a...
I'm not a big birthday person. And funny enough, my mom used to throw me a lot of birthday parties growing up. So you would think that I'd be somebody who like cares so much.
So whenever time I plan a birthday for my kids, I'm like, am I going to create a monster? Am I creating a birthday party monster?
The one is like, it's a birthday month. So what do you have going on for your birthday?
We are all going to a brewery.
We're just get crunked. I'm prepping myself to end up at Notre Dame by 7 p.m.
Okay? I know. It should be fun. We have the friends that we haven't seen in a while, so it'll be good.
How are you feeling about turning the age you're feeling? We won't reveal it on this podcast. But it is an old elder millennial age.
I thought I would deal with age better, and I'm not dealing with it that great. I don't even want to say the number out loud. I thought I would be better. I thought I wouldn't care, and I really
care. Okay, what do you think that is? Because I'm feeling the same way, because when we were prepping for this podcast and you were mentioning your age, and I was like, wait, I'm a year older than you. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm turning that age? I freaked out a little bit.
I was talking to a friend. Her mom, I guess, used to be like a real sex pot in their neighborhood in Sacramento, like just a hottie. And she was divorced, and so she had like boyfriends, ooh, you know. And so, but she was saying her mom was like, there was one day where I became invisible. Like no one saw me anymore. Mm. I don't think we're there in our age, but I do feel like, yeah, we're becoming just moms.
Well, you told me I look nice and dressed up, and I'm literally wearing the rattiest white t-shirt and the jeans I always wear. That signals to me I have become invisible.
I'm not like depressed about it, but I'm not like celebratory of my age.
Yeah, I feel you. I am becoming a strong believer also that we need to find things for ourselves that are separate from being a vessel for other people.
Yeah.
You know, because that's like actually a lot of our identity right now.
So maybe we need to plan a trip for ourselves. Paris 2025?
What about Germany 2025?
Let's do it.
They've made it so, Hain and Hyunwoo have made it so romantic.
We got to go to that palace.
Yeah, we got to go to the palace where you go to rest, right? Wasn't that
that's right.
Tagline?
That's a good transition into episodes 10, 11, and 12. I'm going to start with episode 10, Cry Count. The Hyunwoo cry count. So episode 10, we get two cries. Episode 11, we get 1 million cries. And episode 12, we get a few. I mean, this guy is, he must be getting liquid IVs every episode.
That's what I was going to say. He needs some liquid IV in him. Some Celtic salt.
We left episode 9 last time with the Hong family kicked out of Queenstown. They've been banished to the country and they're living with Hyunwoo's family. And they're kind of figuring out life in the country. We also left episode 9 with Hyunwoo on a bridge fighting off like the landlord and his thugs.
Who knows who this guy is? I don't understand.
Mixed up in the business stuff, but it's definitely on Eunsung's guidance that this guy is trying to beat him up. And then we also see Eunsung has tracked down Hain and confronts her on the country road. So we start there. We see Hyunwoo is fighting. Hyunwoo boxer is my favorite Hyunwoo. Just when I thought he couldn't get any hotter, he is talking with his fists and I am listening.
He has such a baby face that I can't get it. I think he is so mushy. So he looks so good in a suit. Great actor. But he looks like a child.
And so it's not that believable that he's beating up these really nefarious thugs on a bridge. I mean, when he comes home to Hain after the fight, he's got the tiniest of scratches on his face. So Hain is very worried. So she starts ripping off his shirt.
Oh my God, that was a great scene.
To check for his bruises.
I was rewatching this morning to get ready for the podcast and my son happened to be up and he was like, what, why is she taking off his clothes? He was so worried for him.
It was aggressive.
It was quite aggressive.
It was all that pent-up sexual aggression.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved it so much.
I liked that too. I think you're right, though. He needs to work out a little bit more.
Don't you think?
He was quite scrawny.
His shoulders. We need shoulder work.
Yes.
Either way. 10 out of 10. No notes. Love that scene. A lot of the time in the country is spent with Hyunwoo and Haein, basically post-divorce, finally talking. They're showing concern for each other. There's a lot of Neosporin Q-tip application. Yeah, he has little band-aids on his perfect face. They're getting ice cream before work. Oh, yeah,
the jujuba. I thought it was really one of the first times they were being so honest with each other. She's clearly wishes to have avoided all the pain. She's like, well, if we just hadn't gotten together and gotten married, then we wouldn't have had pain. But he's like, no, I would have still made the same choice. And he said, I wish I had asked you more, how are you doing?
A little therapy really could have done these two some good. Yeah, so we have some cute scenes between them. It's very lovey-dovey. There's a scene where Hyunwoo's wearing black leather sandals. He's walking around the country, his black leather sandals on. You know, I said in Singles Inferno, I really hate a man in black leather sandals. But you know what? Kim Soo Hyun is the only person. I'll take them. I find those acceptable on him.
Not even your husband, huh?
Oh, no. Never. But the big thing that happens in this episode is Eunsung, David the dog killer, he's getting really desperate.
That guy needs therapy.
I mean, we know why he's so messed up, but man, his mom really screwed him up.
It always goes back to the mom, okay?
I mean, he also didn't have a dad either.
And dad, yeah. People might think it's hokey, but when you go to therapy, it's actually mind-blowing how much of who you are now as an adult tracks back to behaviors that you learned from your parents or that trauma that you have from the way they treated you. Lowercase trauma. I mean, he has uppercase trauma, but for the most of us, it's all connected.
His obsession comes from the fact that his mother abandoned him. His adoptive parents basically abandoned him by dying. You know, like, and the only person who was ever kind to him really was Haein. And so he is maniacally focused on her.
If you think about the way his mom treated him, he must have associated that as love, right? And so for the way that he treats Haein is by being a psycho. Mm-hmm. And forcing her to love him.
His mom, who is Mo Money, Mo Problems' girlfriend, she's like, she's just using you. She doesn't like you.
Mm.
He's like, I know she uses me, but I don't care. And but mom, you've been using him too, right? So that's what he's been trained to do. So, I mean, Haein's not that great. She's not that kind. He clearly has like this fixation on her and actually likes being mistreated probably.
Yes.
So Eunsung is ominously threatening Haein. I know you're dying. I'm going to tell your parents. She's really? That's what you're going to do,
yeah,
buddy?
Yeah, that's the worst thing you can do. I'm telling on you.
He's like, come back to Queens in 2 days.
So then Haein goes back to Queens in 2 days, seemingly to take his offer. When Haein was going to Seoul, did you think that she was taking Eunsung's offer?
I did.
I wouldn't put it past Korean dramas.
But I did think it was with a greater end. I didn't think it would happen so quickly. I thought she would go in and work something in there while she was back. So Hyunwoo is down in the basement and he gets word from Secretary Na that Haein is back in the building. So back at Queens, there's a press conference being set up. It's Eunsung's inauguration, they called it. And it looks like Haein's going in with Eunsung. He's so excited to tell the world he's getting married. He's like, okay, you do your part. And then I'm going to do my part. I'm going to tell everyone we're getting married. He's like a millennial basic bee who just can't wait to get on Instagram to show off his engagement ring, you know? Like, he's got his manicure. The boys are ready. Yes. He's ready to post.
She says, what he said was true. We went to college together. However, he threatened me and my husband is what she said, which I think was beautiful. And then she said, I'm dying.
That's the end of episode 10. Oh, the big other thing is that the chairman wakes up. Eunsung has like stowed him away somewhere.
Yes.
Who steals because people and just hides them? Like, how is that even possible?
And so now there's infighting between Eunsung, David the dog killer, and Mo Money, Mo Problems, his mom. And so he takes the chairman because he's trying to threaten his mom.
Because all of her money and power is tied up to him staying alive, but also staying in a coma. He can't wake up.
Right.
he does wake up in the end of episode 10. Only other interesting thing out of episode 10 was there's this weird scene of Hyunwoo's mom, because I guess they own a pear orchard. So she has Haein's mom help her pick pears. And then there's all these foreign pear pickers there.
Yes. That white girl?
Yeah. What is
What's
that?
Up, Wade? I wrote that too. I don't know.
Is it like a study abroad program?
Well, I do think that Korea is having difficulty getting laborers in the country because Koreans don't want to work there.
I mean, because they don't want to get dark.
That and everybody wants to sit behind a desk and get some benefits. So there are, I understood it as a lot of Southeast Asian laborers that were coming, but the girls, Korean was not bad.
It was great. These poor white girls are lured to the Korean country. Like, here, you can have ramen and face treatments all you want. And then they're stuck picking pears. Well, next time I go to Korea, I'll know that my pears were picked by a white Russian lady.
It also looks like that pear picking farm is becoming a tourist attraction.
Sure.
So next time, go out and you could probably pick your own pears.
If I'm going to visit anywhere, it's going to be that lavender field. We see the lavender field come up in episode 11. Haein just announced that she's dying. She locks eyes with Hyunwoo in the crowd. She comes down off the stage and it now changes into like she's walking into a field of lavender, and she collapses into Hyunwoo's arms in front of everybody. And then we see her getting rushed to the hospital, and her voiceover, Haein, is saying, "This can't be it. I never told him my true feelings."
Oh my gosh, I actually cried.
Really?
Yes.
He was the reason she wanted to live. It's not a drama unless you have a running through the hospital ER scene. And then the glass doors closing on your face,
exactly.
You know? She's in the ICU. The family comes. The evil mother's like,
Oh, you didn't believe it?
Oh, no, I believe it. But I'm also like, crocodile tears, little right. late, lady.
Too late. This was her awakening. Yeah, her reckoning. And then we do see, though, like how cold the mom has been throughout her life, right? When Haein was younger, she tried to touch her mom's hand. And the mom just took her hand away. I can't imagine.
I know. That, if anything, was the most heartbreaking part of this episode. Was just how cold her mom has been to her whole life. Haein wakes up just 22 minutes into the episode. They really don't milk things on this show. Like, people are just falling into comas, waking up. 22 minutes. And, of course, she wakes up, just springs right up. Fresh as a daisy.
Well, she sprung up because, her brother had a talisman and was like, it said that it would take her energy away, and this must be why. And she's like, you fool.
Her hair looks perfect. She wakes up and she's like, I love you.
It takes being at the brink of death to realize you should just be saying the things that you mean.
Yeah. She says sorry to him for everything. I think it's the first time we ever hear her say sorry to him.
Is that what it'll take for you?
Yeah, seriously. I was just like, that's
at
like
the brink
me.
Of death and be like, fine, I'm sorry.
What will it take for me to say sorry to my husband?
I feel like there wasn't even much that happened in episode 11 other than the grandpa wakes up, Mo Money is screaming at him, where's my money?
Yeah.
Where'd you put it?
But yeah, like Chairman's awake, but he's totally out of it. And his family just isn't trying hard.
I know.
Nobody's trying to find this guy. He's disappeared.
In fact, they're trying really hard to find the money.
Yeah. Everybody is like, where is the money? Not really, how's Chairman doing? Yeah. The only one kind of working hard to find Chairman was Crazy Aunt.
Yes.
But she's just so emotional. Like, literally, this guy wakes up and she, like, the first thing he sees is this woman just screeching in his face. She goes to find the chairman. She finds him in the hospital.
Yeah.
Of course, Mo Money, Mo Problems is already there. She's got like six henchmen around her.
She also doesn't have money yet. So how's she paying them?
I don't know. I mean, I guess you could just take a gold Buddha and sell it.
Yeah, right.
That'll just fund your lifestyle. She's also just in full villain mode. She was wearing this black silk Victorian dress with like a shawl, walking with a parasol on the property.
But do you notice her eyeliner is now turning like Haein's mom's eyeliner? Like, it's going up.
Interesting.
At the end?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that's an indication she's turning evil.
I've always noticed Haein's mom's
It's so
eyeliner.
Bad.
It's like a little feather at the end of her eye because it just swoops up. It is so bad.
But
it's like
I think
brown.
It's intentional. Like, I think it's intentional to make her look
squinty and evil.
Yeah.
I will never do eyeliner right.
It's like my hair. You know, one of my goals was to do my hair and I've just given up. But I was watching Hayne and her hair looks so good.
Yeah.
My hair has never looked like that.
Never. And I have been doing like balayage, like to lighten my hair, to have fun Asian girl hair, right. You know? And I
ABG.
Yeah. And usually in these dramas, the leads always have colored hair. Yeah. It seems very popular. But she is full
hers
natural.
Is natural.
And it looks so good.
Hers is voluminous. The curls, it's just right. And I felt so motivated to figure out how to do that.
Mo Money, Mo Problems henchmen boot out Crazy Aunt from this hospital. And Crazy Aunt just leaves. She just goes.
I know, she folds so easily.
I mean, shouldn't she send Conan? Someone should be sitting outside this hospital to watch what's going on. Like, this family does not care about this chairman.
But what they do care about is finding out where this money is.
Right, and there's a slush fund.
Yeah, the slush fund. And no, apparently it's so much that he would have had to rent out a warehouse to store it because it's like actual cash. And they're doing all this investigative work and they end up at a storage facility and they're all pretending to be entrepreneurs. Grace, the butler slash
masseuse,
whoever, yeah. She says about the brother, about Hayne's brother, she goes, yeah, he's Chinese.
Did you hear
what he said? Was saying? He's like, no cilantro, please.
Yeah. He was saying like nonsense. But
did you see? His face was, I couldn't tell if it was offended.
Only Juliet would think that being called any other Asian race is offensive. Yeah, so they're looking for this slush fund. They find this warehouse. But why are they bringing Grace the masseuse along? Why would anyone trust
you
this woman?
You don't even need her.
Really? She added no value except to just turn around and betray them 10
right.
minutes
She's,
later.
She literally is betraying
left
every
and right.
turn. Yeah. At every turn.
I think the problem with these two villains, Mo Money, Mo Problems, and Eunsang the dog killer, the reason why their plan isn't going accordingly right. is because they're not paying the people that they're trying to get on their side, right? They didn't pay Grace the butler.
Right.
They didn't give her enough money or the position that she wanted. David, the dog killer, doesn't pay the landlord scumbag who he tells to kill Hyunwoo. Like, if you just pay these people, they'll do what you want. But instead, they're not paying them and they're just like flipping.
But that's the thing. Where would they get the money from? Just because you become the CEO, you're not going to get like a black card suddenly. They say a lot of trust fund babies
are not cash rich.
Are actually not cash rich, right? And so the joke is when you have lunch with somebody who has a trust fund, mm-hmm. they'll be like, hey, you owe me $3.75. Which I do know some people who have trust funds, and that is exactly what they are like. They will nickel and dime you because they're not getting like consistent cash flow.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you gotta sell off those gold Buddhas.
Right.
They figure out the money is being laundered through art purchases and the cash is leaving this place in a truck. And then Hayne remembers from a video that exact truck was in front of her house. This girl can't remember her husband's name, but she can remember a truck from years ago in front of her house. Like, okay, sure. Sure, Hayne. They're finishing up at the warehouse. Hayne is waiting outside in the rain. Hyunwoo went to go get the car. Like, she's kind of like taking a nap and she wakes up and then Hyunwoo is there and he's like, what are you doing?
But did you notice the way he was talking was a little stilted?
I didn't notice. Oh. I was very shocked by this whole scene.
I mean, his acting wasn't incredible, but you know, I was like, oh,
he put on an outfit.
Yeah, he put on an outfit to be like Eunsang, David the dog killer.
She kind of grabs on to him, is like, let's go eat, and is very sweet and moony-eyed to him. They walk in the car, they're driving, everything seems fine, but then out of the rain, a car, it comes crashing through these barriers right in front to stop them. And you're like, what's going on? Oh no, Eunsang's coming.
Yes.
And it walks out. It's Hyunwoo.
It's Hyunwoo. And then she looks to her right. So she's looking at her passenger window and you see Eunsang's reflection. So he was in the driver's seat.
Right.
So the whole time it was David the dog killer, but she had mistaken him for Hyunwoo.
Yes. It is shocking.
It was very dramatic.
Now we're in episode 12. She's having hallucinations. She can't tell people apart. Eunsang looks at her and he's like, isn't he going to be worried? You can't tell him that you came into this car mistakenly.
But why not?
Yeah. So she gets out of the car and she's like, oh, yeah, what's up? He's like, what the fuck are you doing? She's like, what's going on? Yeah, I'm just in the car with Eunsang. No big deal. She needs like a safe word with Hyunwoo to confirm it's actually Hyunwoo. Like, Pineapple. Pineapple is like a sex safe word.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like a BDS something. She's too embarrassed to tell Hyunwoo she mixed him up with Eunsung, which is also like, I mean, you better be brain dead to mix those two up.
But she was quite smart to say like, oh, I'm going to go visit my grandpa.
Yeah, it was a very nice pivot. So Eunsung's basically holding her hostage now. He forces her to change, have dinner with him. She's like, no, thanks. I just want to see my grandpa. He's like, oh, come on, please, please just have dinner with me. That's all I ever wanted in this house. He's so excited again. He's now, you know, Instagram B again, picking out the wine, picking out the plates, has the setting already. He's giddy because why? Like he just wants
his
meal?
He's psychotic and he's desperate.
Does he think he's actually going to change her mind?
Actually, I saw this thing where somebody had posted on like Facebook or Instagram or something of some guy. He's like, you need to get with these young girls. They're in their early 20s. They'll treat you right. And he's taking pictures of them. And then one of the girls in the picture was like, we are sex workers. And they force us to take these pictures. And he's pretending like we're dating him. It's like that, you know?
This is exactly what this is.
He's doing it for the gram. And then he guilts her to be with him.
Right.
So he's telling her these stories that seem almost as if they have an invisible string.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that like he was there when she drowned. He's the one that rescued her. Here's the necklace that you left behind. And she had no idea that that was him.
Yeah. He's trying to invisible string them. And she almost seems a little moved by it. She eats with him and she's like, okay, I need to see my grandfather now. She goes up to see him. He is out of it still. She passes him a pen. This was great because when she first went into her room to change, she spies this pen.
Oh, really? So it wasn't that she had it on her?
No. So she saw it in her room. The camera definitely clocks that pen. And it turns out that it's a
recorder pen
that her grandfather gave her. So the grandfather knows how it works. Eunsung has a scene with his mom. He's like, you never cared for me. You cast me aside. She's like, oh, yeah? Yeah, your adoptive parents who didn't drink? How come they died in a drunk car accident?
I killed him.
Remember that orphanage guy who was mean to you?
I killed him.
I'll kill Hane too.
And I'll kill you too.
She is obsessive driven by greed. He is obsessive driven by his obsession over Hane. Like, which one's scarier, do you think?
I think greed is scarier. Mm-hmm. Because it can never be satisfied.
You have no Achilles heel.
Yeah.
Hane is David's Achilles heel, right, which the mother can see.
Yeah.
But the mother has no Achilles heel. Even the son is not her Achilles heel. She'll do anything for power and money. Hane kind of wanders out in the forest. She can't figure out how to leave the property she's literally lived on her whole life. Hyunwoo somehow gets into the property and he finds her, but she can't recognize him again.
Yeah. And she's is seeing Eunsung and Hyunwoo, like, the image is changing before her eyes, so she can't even trust herself.
And we kind of can't trust her either. Yeah. She's unreliable as a narrator now, right, where we don't know who it is, and both of them could be out there. Then he takes her home to his bachelor pad where he lived after their divorce. It's really cute. He cooks her a home-cooked meal. My husband was saying that they're, like, she does this thing where she, like, lifts him up and says, I love you, and then, like, kind of brings him down with, like, oh, you could sleep in this apartment after the divorce? I couldn't sleep ever. And, like, you know, makes him nervous again. There's, like, a word, like, I sound like I'm glitching now.
What? Is there a chicken in the house? What? I don't know what that. I don't know what that phrase is.
They go back to the country. He gives her a Bulgari ring, thinking about you, and you had lost your engagement ring. What's the status of that?
It is still lost, and it looked very similar to that. It was not Bulgari, but it was a round cut ring. It's gone.
Yeah. You need your husband to watch that episode too.
I know. I need a re-engagement ring.
Yes.
I'm assuming it's in one of the vents in my house. So
buy this house after her and rip it up like the chairman's house. It's the slush fund in the panic room.
That's right.
But it's a diamond in a vent. He gives her the ring, but she says, I can't take it because I'm losing my mind.
Yeah.
And I can't be with you. And it's very sad. I think they're really doing a good job using her memory loss as just kind of the emotional trigger.
To make people vulnerable, you mean?
Yeah, to make her vulnerable. But these dramas want to keep these two leads just perfect and beautiful still. Like, they'll use emotion as a way to show weakness, but never physicality, right? Like, Hyunwoo never would have a bruise on his face. He He's about to get like thrown in a river and drowned. He still comes home with just the slightest of scratches. Yeah. Hayne also tells her family earlier she has been giving herself injections for her white blood count. We never see any of this.
That's the thing about Korean dramas, is it's such a fantasy. While I was watching, I was thinking, wow, even their interactions are not the kind that you would ever have in real life. You don't talk to your spouse that way. And
yeah.
I mean, maybe the way that the family talks to each other, that's more realistic. But like this romanticized relationship is so unrealistic. And you really don't see this in American television.
These guys don't bleed. There's no like corporeal being of them, right? They're just like almost celestial. You're okay to lose your mind, but we should never see you actually prick yourself with a needle. Right. Or like
or your hair ever being out of place.
The other thing that's happening is that everyone is narrowing down on the slush fund. Everyone knows it's in the house now, but they're just not sure where it is. And it's in a panic room that no one can find. And we also see that Chairman is back. His mind is back. Mo Money, Mo Problems is keeping him drowsy.
Yes.
And keeping him cloudy.
Yes.
And just screaming at him every 5 minutes.
Where's my money? It's in my name. Where is it? As a side note about Mo Money, this is classic what happens when you do too much work on the face and not on the neck.
Oh, really?
Her neck is like a turkey's neck.
Oh, yikes.
But and her face is tight.
I think your hands are also a good
Yes, location. Your hands. Yeah. My hands are showing my age. I know.
But you always wear gloves to wash dishes.
I do.
Even at my house, you'll like find the gloves
I'll find
in the back.
Deep, the ones that I got for you buried way back in your cupboard. I'm like, why aren't you using these?
I don't trust the insides of the gloves. Like, if I can't
what,
see
like
it.
You think there's mold in them?
Yeah, like, I don't know what's in there. Like, it could be gross in there. I can't see it.
I replace it every 4 weeks, okay?
Oh, well, I never use
Also,
one.
I'd rather have mold on my hands than wrinkly hands.
Of course you would. Chairman is just like, fuck this life. I'm not sticking around. I've been bamboozled by this woman. I'm a fool. And he just takes himself to the staircase.
Because he knows that if he's dead, then she loses everything, right? And what we see is that when Hayne came to see him, he grabs her as she's leaving and he says, hey, lady, next time when there's a war, come to my air raid shelter.
Yeah.
But the slush fund is in this bunker.
So then the chairman throws himself down the stairs of this house.
Which was so dramatic.
But that's the only thing
he
can do.
Right.
I guess he could so OD trapped. On all the pills that he's been saving.
Right.
But she probably
But like, why wouldn't he try to escape?
There's no way out of this.
Clearly, nobody in his family cares to rescue him.
No one's coming. I like how Mo Money's like, you don't even have a cell phone. Like, there's no landlines here. There's got to be a landline in this house. But Hanyu's finally like, oh, I've been hearing that. They're not even giving him care. They're like, okay, let's call the police. But really, it's just to call the police so they can get the money and get in the house. Not really to save this poor chairman. I don't know if it's an indictment from the writers of just how awful Chibbles are.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
That there's no love in these generations for the chairmans.
They're really waiting for them to die.
It's no like, let's save that bastard. It's like, let's get that fool's money. So he throws himself down the staircase.
And then they have the funeral. I guess as part of the funeral procession, they come into the house to be like, here, take a tour of your home before you go off to rest. They figure out how to get to the panic room or to this air raid shelter. The doors open and all of their faces are shooketh.
It could either be like Uncle Scrooge's bank vault and they're all going to go dive in and spit out gold coins.
Or it's all gone. More likely, it's there's nothing left.
Right. Because why would Mo Money, Mo Problems let them walk around?
Exactly.
The only other thing is that dumb brother's wife is back.
I felt like that was such an unnecessary storyline.
I have to say this baby actor is this the most angelic baby I've ever seen. This kid
no
is just...
No crying.
Yeah, nothing. There's like a scene where two of them are like kind of yelling at each other and the baby just sleeps right through it. I don't
baby
know
took Harabuchi sleeping pills. It's been subdued.
Oh no. Also in that scene, the first thing dumb brother's wife says to him after having betrayed him and taking his kid away, he says, you gotta call me Nuna. Really, the hierarchy still... After all of this, the first thing she cares about is, I'm sorry, you have to call me Nuna.
I just think it's so embedded in the culture. You guys don't have that in Chinese culture?
I mean,
you guys, you do like Mei Mei.
Yeah, we do,
sister.
But it's not a, no. How old are you? You need to call me
what
by
What time were you born?
Like, we call each other by our names. You don't say, like, I think it's so interesting that my mother-in-law still calls her friends Ani.
Maybe you should start calling me Ani now that I'm thinking
about
it.
Hell no. I better have a brain tumor losing my memory.
You'll be at the brink of death before you ever say anything like that to me.
Okay, that was episodes 10, 11, 12. Next week, we are going to be back with episodes 13, 14, and 15. We're almost done. Thank you guys for listening. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Be well, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.